Hey Jay, where are you at?
Hey, how's it going?
Well,
Before.
I'm all right, I guess. Man, it's
Yeah.
late.
Yeah. Yeah, it's late in the evening. It's Friday night when we're talking here, and we just got home from watching the Montana football team take an embarrassing beating in a national championship football game. So,
Did that embarrass you personally or more on a community
well,
level?
you know, it's no, not at all. But I felt bad for those guys because, you know, out here in Montana, it's easy to get sheltered as to, you know, what the qualities of the various teams out in the rest of the world are. And obviously, the team that they were playing was better.
Well, are you ready for a nightcap?
Well, yeah, of a sort. Yeah, I certainly
I,
am. What about you?
yes, in fact, just last week I was kind of singing the praises of the American art of the cocktail, which is something that I am fairly enamored of and respect. But I realized after that that's kind of problematic for this format because while there are many great, pre-dinner cocktails or after-dinner cocktails or just, having a good time cocktails, whatever. The nightcap is something slightly different. There's a limited number of cocktails that really would qualify as, I think, good nightcaps. So we got to pace ourselves in that regard. So tonight, I am exercising discretion, and I'm just having what I would normally have, as a nightcap, which is some brandy.
Oh, that sounds like a dandy idea.
Indeed, to
Are you drinking
paraphrase,
it straight up or warmed or over ice or what?
it's funny that you would ask because I've been longing for some time for a proper brandy snifter. Haven't had one. Requested such for our, my wife and I, Christy Paxson. We recently celebrated our 15th wedding anniversary.
Oh, right.
And I requested as a gift, could I get a decanter or perhaps a nice brandy snifter? And
Right
she
on.
got well, she got both, and she got me a decanter, which is a fine, heavy decanter. I mean, it's really something you could bludgeon someone to death with this thing. It's not a delicate little cut crystal thing at all. It's actually some kind of commemorative thing for the Georgia Dome. I really am not sure what that's all about. But anyway, she also got me a little set of snifters, but they were like mini snifters. Really for, I don't know, very small people or something. They weren't really practical. And I couldn't really actually fit my hand between the body of the snifter and the base, which kind of defeats the purpose if you understand how a
Yeah,
brandy
right.
snifter works, right? You're supposed to kind of hold it, cradle it in your palm and between your fingers, and it kind of warms the brandy a little bit.
Right. Well, you know, one thing you might want to explain for those who are listening to this is what a snifter really is. Because, you know, when I first heard of a snifter years ago, I remember thinking it must be something to, like, you know, spritz it up your nose or something.
Well, there you go again, thinking that somebody's actually listening to this.
Oh, right. Yeah, sorry about that.
But in actuality, a snifter, of course, is a glass that's properly configured. It's just the perfect glass for brandy.
Right.
A little bit of a luxury. It's not like you need it, but it is nice because you hold it in your palm and it kind of warms the brandy up, and you can stick your nose down in there and smell it, and it really. You've really got quite an aroma. Well, for Christmas then, I finally got a pair of brandy snifters, a
That's
proper
awesome.
brandy snifters. So Christmas came early here in New
Yeah,
Orleans.
apparently so. Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Well, what about you?
Well, you know, I'm our the cupboard is pretty barren here, so I thought that just both for symbolic reasons and as well because it's pretty much what we've got, I was going to have some bitters. So I'll just kind of squirt it here into my glass. I have some Peychaud's bitters. Now, you know, of course, this is normally a something that you add to a drink, add to a cocktail. But it is 35% alcohol by volume. And so, you know, I can get a little bit of a buzz going. Of course, these things, you know, only come out drop by drop, so it's taking me a long time to even get like half a shot in my glass. But anyway.
That is pathetic.
Well, you know, yeah, it's one of the things that happens when you have no money around Christmas time. Not to be too pathetic about the whole thing, but, you know, I got paid today, I think it was. And, you know, that check has to go to pay for the mortgage. And so it's already essentially gone. And so, you
now,
know, this
now does this, I've been reading in the news lately about this economic downturn. Does this have anything to do with this downturn?
Whew, that is bitter.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey,
Sean, figure.
I thought was it's quite a bit sweeter than Angostura bitters. You know, it's funny that you there in Montana would be having Peychaud's bitters because, of course, that's from New Orleans.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I got it years ago for a drink that we mixed together, and
yeah, well,
I've hung on to it ever since.
It was Sazerac.
Yeah, that's right.
The classic original cocktail, some would say. But that's neither here nor there. The,
right.
What I was asking is you were bemoaning your financial hardships, and I was wondering if that had anything to do with this global economic crisis.
Well, yes and no. You know, the in a way it does, in the sense that we're affected in a kind of strange way, because I have a full-time job, of course, writing for the local daily newspaper here. And that job does pay a salary that, you know, is considered in this day and age to be a professional salary, I think.
Livable? You can live upon it?
Well, you know, one person, I don't know. No. I mean, it doesn't pay, it doesn't cover all of our expenses. Let's put it that way. Or excuse me, it covers all of our expenses and nothing more. In terms of, you know, and when I talk about expenses, I'm talking about the recurring monthly things, you know, like the gas bill and the mortgage and things like that. And, you know, I don't think somebody would look at our situation and say that we're necessarily over our heads with the mortgage that we're in, but it's just kind of the situation that we're in.
Hold on here.
Yeah.
Didn't you build a second house and you're renting out the first house?
We did build a second house. Okay, so I bought the house that I was living in 2000, and then we subdivided that property, and I built a house next door in the what used to be the side yard.
Right.
And we subdivided and we were renting out the other house, and then we at a loss, I might note, and then we sold it, and we did okay on the sale, no doubt about that. But what this all, you know, the net effect of all of this was, you know, it's a long story, but the intention when we decided that we were going to build this house was to build something and get ourselves into a situation where our expenses were lower. And in fact, we've gotten ourselves back to square one as far as what our mortgage debt is. It's pretty much exactly what it was when we bought the other house. The difference now is that we have a much nicer house. That's not what I went into this planning to do, but I just had that terrible tendency as we were building this house to every step of the way think, well, you know, we could just upgrade that a little bit and it'd be okay. And pretty much everything was addressed that way, and as a result, the house is, you know, one big upgrade. So, I wouldn't call that a mistake, but strategically, if I had known, the situation that we would be in today, working on one income and whatnot, it probably wouldn't have been the wisest way to maintain a positive cash flow.
But you are working on one income because Daylin is...
Yeah, she's in school. And, you know, we're investing in our future, and I don't think that that's a mistake either. You know, she's in an accounting program, which, you know, hopefully right about the time, you know, it looks like, as I look at the trajectory of what's going on, she should be done with school around the same time that newspapers all implode and are sold off at, you know.
And she's studying accounting?
Cost. Yeah, accounting.
That's how very inspiring. Not
well.
How could she possibly do that?
Well, there are a lot of people who study accounting.
Accounting for a long time, but I studied accounting myself. I took one semester in undergraduate, 20
mm-hmm.
years ago, and my God, that was the worst experience of my academic career.
Really? What did you not like about it?
What was there to like? It was completely impenetrable to me. I mean, I can't bring myself to think hard about things that I don't care about. And, other people's money tends not to be something that I care about, I guess. You know, my own money, maybe. Anyway, that's another thing entirely. I would suppose that since Day is studying the very management and accounting of for money,
mm-hmm.
that you guys are probably really running a tight ship when it comes to your own, you know, personal bookkeeping and all of that stuff, the financial.
Oh, not at all.
Thing.
No. It's kind of like, how you hear that psychologist kids are the most fucked up kids around.
Yeah, I have heard that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it applies to all professions. But in all seriousness, it's hard to run a tight ship when, the ballast weighs more than the displacement allows. Did that make sense?
Not really, but
I don't think it even was logical, but it was an attempt to follow a thing. Yeah. In other words, it's hard to even know how to run a tight financial ship when, your expenses outweigh your basic outflows, or at least when they're so close to being equal that any unexpected thing, needing new tires or whatnot, completely upsets that. So, that's the challenge. For the last couple of years, we have this side business that I'm involved in that's kind of a strange thing that happened over the years. I co-own a tile installation company, of all things.
Right.
I bought it with a friend named Corey back in 2002 or 2003. And over the last few years, that business has somehow, kind of kicked in a little bit of money just at the right time. You know, we'll have a profitable job or whatnot and be able to take some money out of the business, right at the time when otherwise we'd have to go into credit card debt or whatnot. So that's been a fortunate thing. And I'd say that's the one area in which we have been directly already affected by this economic downturn, because there's not a lot of people out there putting new tile in their houses.
Right.
Right now. So.
Well, it's funny that you would mention all this, your personal financial scenario there, because I remember 6 months ago or so, ever since, you know, our daughter was born, mm-hmm. we're speculating on, okay, so should we put her in daycare? My God, daycare is expensive.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, if Christy wasn't working, then we would save that money on daycare. But could we make it on one income? And, you know, I just looking at the numbers in a real crude fashion, it seemed to me that no, there's no possible way we could survive if mm-hmm. it was just me working. We really need that extra money. From Christy has earned more and more over the years as a public school teacher. And, you know, it adds up to quite a substantial. Well, but then I read about other people who earn less than me, who have bigger mortgages than us, who are doing it on one income. And, you know, I just don't feel like we're living an extravagant, luxurious lifestyle. I don't know what we would cut. I could imagine, you know, you could cut this, cut that, a few luxuries, and it just doesn't add up to that much. So, obviously, though there's something I'm missing. But then again, you know, like I said, accounting was my weakest subject.
Ah, yeah. Well, you know, I think that not to get too far into this subject that you find bedazzling and boring, but one of the things that I've focused on over the years is trying to become more financially aware and knowing what's going on with our money and being smart about debt in particular. And so, for example, you know, when we were doing all this home financing, there were, you know, we had some of these opportunities floated out in front of us for these mortgages with introductory rates that were really low or things like that, and you know, doing a second mortgage to pay for things that you probably ought to pay for out of pocket and that kind of thing. And I think that we've been fairly conservative on all of that stuff. And as a result, you know, I think that we're, you know, we don't have a lot of cash in hand, but the debt is structured well, and we don't have, I mean, but until this Christmas season came along, we hadn't had any credit card debt in several years. And even now, I wouldn't say that we really have any to speak of. It's just, you know, we got short and we've got a couple of presents on there this year. But, you know, so I think that a lot of times you see situations where you're wondering, how can that person really be paying for that? You know, how do they afford that boat on top of the mortgage on that house and all of that? And I think that, you know, when you really look at what financial products are out there, and especially what were out there 2 or 3 years ago or 4 or 5 years ago, what you find is that people were getting themselves into really kind of debt that, you know, sure, they can make their payments, but will they ever get out from under those payments? That's a question.
Yeah, and I don't pretend to understand this whole global financial crisis and so forth, but I understand that a lot of it has to do with kind of an overextension of too much easy credit, as they say. But what I'm wondering about is, you know, at this time of year, actually one of the things that kind of is grotesque about this time of year is how there seems to be so much of an emphasis on purchasing lots of stuff, you know, that there's so much of the economy that's tied up in people making purchases for gifts, I guess, at this time of year, that it kind of takes on almost a desperate, you know, like your duty as a good American is to go out and buy stuff. And if you don't do that, then, you know, there's all this anxiety right now that people are watching their money. Everybody's nervous about the financial situation, so they're not spending the money, and that is actually, you know, hurting everybody. And so, what I'm wondering is, what kind of Christmas are you having there, if money is so tight?
Yeah, well, the emphasis has shifted some, for sure. In recent years, we've had a kind of scaling up of what the Christmas presents constitute. And I'd say that, we're probably, what I would say is that we're back down to what's probably reasonable in terms of financial expense. I mean, I really enjoy, having this time of year when we can sort of indulge ourselves in things for each other that we really love. And this year we've just been more careful, but I don't think I don't see it as a bad thing at all. It requires, what it comes down to actually is that, at least for me, is that it requires more creativity. It requires not just going out and saying, well, I'll bowl my wife over with, a price tag on something,
right?
Or, the same way with other relatives or friends or whatnot. Basically the gifts that we're giving to everybody except for immediate family and kids are things that we've kind of put together ourselves, as one example, that,
well,
didn't cost us much of anything.
So you're doing kind of an arts and crafts Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you'll have to just keep a little bit of surprise involved in this, because, you may need to be watching your own mailbox. But suffice to say that it's one of those things that hopefully people will treasure in the moment.
So. Awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. But, I really do think that, to me, that actually, it's kind of a silver lining, I suppose, to this situation that, because I haven't felt like, don't get me wrong, I never felt like we had an unlimited budget, but I felt like, before that, or in years past, I've felt like, I could, if I saw something that cost a couple of $100, that could be one of the presents, or, the main present or whatnot. And now, I'm trying to keep the whole budget for what I do in the family in that range. And so, just looking for opportunities for things that are a little bit, that are equally personally meaningful, but less expensive.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I, of course, we don't really communicate a whole lot from day to day. We're on opposite ends of the country.
Yeah.
We just don't see each other like we used to back in the day.
Right.
And not intimately familiar with the particulars of one another's lives and so forth. I've never been out there to Missoula. You came down here and visited us in New Orleans once.
Yeah.
So, very little.
Twice.
Really. And was it twice? Well, anyway, yes.
Well, we stopped by one time.
That's true.
Or we did. Actually, we may not have. We came through one time and maybe weren't able to hook up with you guys because we were just dropping through.
Yeah. There you go. So, anyway, I became aware, we're now talking on the phone to each other, and one of the technical issues that we faced was getting, we don't have a landline here at the house after we rebuilt after the floods of 2005 here in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was concerned that the quality of the recording would suffer if at least one of us should be on a landline, I was feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm calling you now. The first time I called you on your cell phone.
Right.
But the last two episodes have been on your landline.
Right.
And something you said in an email or something led me to believe that you are actually planning to discontinue this landline.
Yeah. Yeah.
For financial reasons.
Yeah.
It's a cost savings.
Well, it is, although, you know, frankly, there's no reason to have a landline anymore. I mean, the only reason why we've maintained it has been, the primary reason, I suppose, should be stated as slothfulness or entropy, might be a better word for it.
Just,
you know,
It's
there, so we haven't, you know, like, figured out what we're going to do to take that step. But the secondary issue that makes it a little bit more complicated than simply calling and shutting it off has been internet access.
Because you're getting it from the phone company, right?
What's that? Yeah, we get DSL from the phone company. They called last week and told them appropriately enough, we made this final decision by texting each other on our cell phones, and determined that, we're ready to turn off the landline. And so she called them and said that, and wanted to talk to them about what it would be to shut off the telephone but keep the internet access. And they offered us a deal whereby we would, we could shut off the phone and they would give us the DSL for, I think, $39.95 a month. But they would give it to us for 6 months for free if we would sign up for a 2-year contract. So, splitting that savings over the cost of two years, I haven't done that math, but probably reduces it down to somewhere around, I don't know, $35 a month that we'd be paying for DSL. And, so then the question becomes, how does that compare to, cable or whatnot? And so that's where we're kind of stuck right now, is that we need to find out what the cable company has to offer.
Right.
Those considerations,
I guess. Have you ever thought about the fact, though, that if the electricity goes out, that your landline still works?
Well, yeah, that's true. But frankly, when the last time the electricity went out, we had a really magical evening of playing Rummy Cube by candlelight. And, I don't want the phone ringing that time.
What if the electricity goes out in a disaster? Which you'll often find that in disasters, electricity is one of the first things that goes out.
Right.
And if that's a prolonged period, then you're not going to be able to recharge your cell phone.
That's true.
I'm not saying that you should keep your landline, because we didn't keep the landline, but that was the one thing in the back of my mind, thinking that, it would kind of make sense to have a landline for that reason. That's the only justification I could.
You've got a point, except for one important caveat.
Yeah.
I have not seen in quite several years, maybe I haven't been looking in the right place, I haven't seen a wired telephone in a long time. When the power goes out, actually the landline usually goes out before the cell phone, because it's a wireless phone that requires constant
electricity. Well, there you go. No, you can
ironical,
still get,
huh?
Yes, you can still get one of those old princess handsets or whatever they call them. The cheapest. But I don't know what that means for the future of the audio quality of this podcast, Jay.
Well, the quality certainly has been slipping in every way, since the very inception of the idea. So I think that it's only appropriate that we begin, slowly fading out until people can't understand a single word of this.
Well, I think on that note, then we have probably reached the conclusion of another fine episode.
Yes. Well, I've certainly enjoyed it, and it probably seems kind of dour, I suppose, because I'm drinking bitters.
It's the most wonderful time
of the year.
All right, Merry Christmas, Jay.
It's same to you, brother.